Your bullets, pussy.
You think this is a Nickelodeon show? I mean, you write probably 100 D's for Eddie McDowell. You better do right, dog, before this is turning right back into a body. The nickel shining. Here's Johnny. I spin off with force with a new Tommy. Unload the case. Show in the middle of space like Toonami. Then I put a...
what it is. So y'all give me a second. Let me call my nigga, see what he doing. Which is hopefully getting prepared for the interview. Let me see what this nigga talking about. Finna get this interview popping ASAP.
Yo.
Hey, nigga, check your phone. I got the live going. You tagged in it.
All right,
bet. I'm ready if you are. Let's get it. Bet. So y'all give me a couple seconds. You see what I'm saying? We finna get this interview popping. I already got some shit I kind of want to talk about because have you ever dated a hypocrite, but like on some accidental hypocrite type shit? That'll happen to me a couple times. And I want to see if I'm the only person that dealt with this type of bullshit, because I know goddamn well I'm not the only motherfucker. Hypocrites in relationships is the biggest pet peeve of mine. It's crazy because the name of this episode is gonna be that TikTok, that meme everybody's been fucking using. It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. I don't like that shit. I don't like that shit personally. That's the quickest way to get cut off with me. If you could do some shit, but you gonna have a problem if I do that shit, I can't fuck with you and I'm never gonna fuck with you. You see what I'm saying? That shit weird to me. It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. And it's funny because women do it on a small scale. Niggas be doing it on a big scale. What I mean by that is, women do shit like, they'll have male friends that they really don't want to have sex with, but like they male friends and they a little too close and they don't want they nigga to do that. Niggas do shit like be fucking 4, 5, 6 different bitches and don't want they bitch to be fucking 4, 5, 6 different niggas. I don't get it. Turn the fuck up.
What's good, nigga?
Hey, that was a wild subject
you just started off with. I heard that shit. That was wild.
What we get into, we gonna get to all the interview shit later. We gonna talk about this shit first. But who when they do it? It's a problem when I do it. That's a real ass motherfucking shit. Bar. The more you think about it. Oh, dog, when I tell you they don't even, and I say it's accidental because I know, because when you bring it up to them, they always feel bad. They always realize that they fuck it up once you bring it up to them. But once you don't, look, hey, and I had so many times I was a chick I was fucking with recently, right? Had a dude best friend. I guess his big sister left him with her son. This nigga don't know how to handle kids, right? So she was like, well, shit, you can come over here. I'm going to help you with the little one-year-old, right? So I looked at it and I just asked, because I wasn't even sure. I didn't even care. I just personally asked. I was like, all right. So if I told you one of my homegirls and a one-year-old was coming to stay at my house for a little bit, would you have a problem with it? She thought to herself, yeah. I kind of would have a problem with that, actually. I was like, all right, so you just need to understand, you got to think about all this type of shit anytime you fuck somebody. Like, because motherfuckers, they only thinking like this. Have you experienced some shit like that with anyone else?
You a goddamn Nah, I ain't experienced nothing like that. That's
different. I mean, talking about just
that's how it go. Like, it's always a double standard. It's always people want shit to work in their favor. You feel me? So women gonna, you know what I'm saying? A woman don't want you talking to you know what I'm saying, other women. But she, and we know every woman got three or four niggas lined up. But if I got three or four hoes lined up, oh, just, I'm wrong. How am I wrong?
I ain't gonna lie. I always got a plan B.
Do the alphabet and the numbers.
You ain't finna catch me slipping. Reason being, because a lot of times you invest all your heart and soul into this motherfucker, and then now you left looking right, you by yourself. So it's like you gotta always. And something wrong with being by yourself, but a lot of times motherfuckers like, hey, I'm in that mode. I'm trying to fuck with somebody. I gotta have something prepared for a backup. Like, fuck my life. Okay. Because it's funny for me. Is I meet a lot of niggas who, and this be their fault too, and I ain't even cap. I meet a lot of niggas who fuck up early, get forgave, but was never really actually forgave. So now, she finna hit you with everything that you did to her, and she gonna see if you stay. And if you don't stay, she cool with you leaving. Doing
the first place.
But if you do stay,
y'all might be able to do something.
Y'all might be able to figure it out. Now,
that's real shit though.
Hey man, a lot of these niggas can't make it. They be ready to beat this hoe up.
They be ready to goddamn, you know what I'm saying?
Don't take no look. I be telling niggas this, and I hope you agree when I say this. A bitch says she forgive me for some shit I done did her wrong. I don't even believe her. She's just gonna say that. I just the ice already thin. I already know the ice broke at that point. I'm already on borrowed time. At this point, I done put my 2-week notice in. The moment that I done did some shit you ain't supposed to be forgive me for, and you forgive me, I don't believe that shit. Ain't no fucking.
Now you're going to do everything out of revenge and spite. She going to take that bitch to the next level.
I don't got and time
then,
for that.
Then you're going to do a couple things. You're either going to stay, but if you stay, it's two ways. You're going to stay and just work through that shit, or you're going to stay and you're going to do your own goddamn thing. And you're going to get revenge back on the revenge that she was getting. Now y'all just ping-ponging after each other doing shit wrong.
Niggas in an open relationship don't even know it at this point. I don't got no fucking time for it. Personally, I don't got no time for no open relationship with no bitch. Because I could just be single.
Yeah, fuck off.
And close. One of the things, though, and I'll be telling these niggas, and you got to please get these niggas some game. Not every nigga is gonna have the ability to just be like, I can go fuck some hoes.
Well,
a lot of these niggas.
All right, the reason why I say that's not true. Every nigga got the ability to go get hoes, fuck hoes. It's the quality that is really become the conversation. A nigga can go fuck an ugly bitch any day. Any nigga can fuck an ugly bitch. You feel me? But it's the quality of the pussy, the quality of the woman. It's like, any nigga can goddamn fuck a bitch, but not any nigga can fuck a pretty bitch, a quote-unquote bad bitch, a bitch who got her shit together. That's rare. Not every nigga can do that.
That's why I be telling hoes, like, when niggas be saying you a trophy, you a prize and shit like that, you don't want that. Nigga, my Ferrari a prize, too. You see what I'm saying? My necklace. God damn it, my shoes are prized. The most material. Right. Sometimes I don't wear them all. Sometimes they ain't real. And it's a lot of that. It's like, man, look, we all ain't gonna be out here looking for love every time. You see what I'm saying? So these hoes is gonna get treated like new cars and new chains. You see what I'm saying? Hey, I'm trying to get the most expensive one, the best one, so I can show that I got that motherfucker. I don't really
Because you also got to think, right? And I was just having a conversation with one of my homeboys about, you know, men in a way. And women talk about, they're not going to settle for nothing. But men, we really want settle, right? Because if you think about it, the prettiest woman that you've been with isn't the nastiest woman that you've been with. So you settle in some department. So I might be with the trophy girl just because she's the prettiest. But she not fulfilling my needs. You feel me? She bitch don't want to do nothing. Just you know what I'm saying?
That's the worst part. And niggas, we got to stop doing this. We got to start. This is the one thing I can say that women do that we need to start adopting. We are hoes and having them thinking that they really out here with the most pristine box in the world. But, and they really don't got
but
it.
But you got to lie if you want to hit it again. Regardless, you got to. Yeah. You got, and that's what niggas do because niggas, it's rare for a nigga to hit it and quit it one time. Even though it's not no feelings or emotions attached, it's just like, shit, it's a Thursday night, nigga. I want some pussy. Let me hit this bitch up. If I tell this bitch she ain't got good pussy, she never gonna let me fuck again. I ain't going to hit it again. So I got one. I have to tell her, like, oh, nah, like, that's the best pussy I ever had. Like, nah, it wasn't, but I'm gonna tell you that so that I can leave that door open. But what happens is now women going out there fooling themselves, talking about, oh, I got the best pussy in the world. I got niggas hit me up. I got this and third. Bitch, them niggas just want to fuck.
About to fuck. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Yeah, like, I'm trying to fuck.
It's Tuesday at 9:33. I'm trying to fuck. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit you talking about. So I'm going to keep bigging your head up while you keep opening the pussy up. It's simple.
Look, one of these days, these hoes going to get it. I'm actually glad
that's the best part.
That's the best part about it. Because keep thinking that you got the best pussy in the world. Listening to Pimp Talk, the women that listen to Pimp Talk, they gonna learn. The ones that don't, they just gonna keep getting knocked off. Because look, hey, you thinking you the baddest bitch. You thinking you got all these niggas on your leash by all these niggas with dicks. There's 7 billion people on this earth, and you got 6 niggas, and you the baddest bitch in the world. You got all of these.
Don't worry like that.
I can't stand it. And I do understand it. It's up. And I just be having to let women know. That's why I be bringing other niggas on. And I be like, hey.
Right.
It's not you. We got this for you. We got to do this
right.
Because of you. You see what I'm saying? That's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. But yeah, like, it's cool when they do it.
When I do it.
It's a problem. You, me, there's a rare few niggas that deal with this. You see what I'm saying? Because we could just kind of go make moves at will. Women understand right. We can make moves at will. They come to the situation jealous. They come to the situation with insecurities. But if you got all of these motherfuckers trying to fuck with you, I see it, I know it. Oh, you shouldn't be fucking with me. Oh, I'm too much for you. Oh, you can't handle me. But you wouldn't deal with a nigga who did the same things.
Women, it's crazy because women truly want a nigga that other women want, but they don't know how to deal with it.
Gotta have.
They don't know how to deal with that shit because guess what? A nigga that other women want got options. And when you are option,
facts.
You don't know how to move. Women don't know how to move as options like that because guess what? Like you going back to what you saying is, you know,
they ain't never been. Been the number one, and it always been they looking at me, ain't nothing else but me. Hey, it's one of the funniest things in the world going to the mall with a chick and she not getting shot at, but you getting shot at by bitches looking at you like,
right,
I ain't finna go nowhere with this nigga no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool when they do it,
exactly.
It's a problem when I do it every time they're gonna make it an issue. And that's why the whole of dating ugly niggas came into effect. I say this shit all the time. Hoes don't really want no ugly nigga. They just want a nigga. I kind of want him, but at the same time, I don't want to be going nowhere and hoes shooting at him. You see? I don't want to feel like I could lose him at any moment. I don't want to feel like an option.
But on the other foot, it's crazy because a lot of men can't handle a woman. They woman being holidayed by many niggas. They
come to me Look, but at least with niggas, it makes sense in only this one small piece. And I was just talking to my homegirl about this very recently, actually. A lot of what a woman desires about a man is tied to what he can provide. And there will always be a nigga that right. can provide more than you. So you out, you may not necessarily be presenting yourself for a new catch, but a new catch gonna see you and all that shit. And what if he fucking with you like I'm fucking with you,
right.
but he making more, doing more, and he got more.
Right.
It would be kind of dumb, right? That wouldn't even make no sense to fuck with me if he right here. But, so it's like a lot of niggas that be like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
insecure that
a lot of men are insecure, like, but they mask it with different things. You know, whether that be the car, whether that be the penthouse, whether that be the designer clothes, they mask the insecurities. The insecurities aren't physical either, right? It's like, oh no, I don't look in the mirror. Like, oh, I don't look good enough. Nah, it's so like,
oh no,
right.
As a dude, you don't give a fuck about that. As a bird, am I able to do enough to get bitches out here? Am I making enough? Am I doing enough? Am I enough to get bitches out here? You see what I'm saying? And it's like, it'd be funny for niggas because it's like, hey, you gotta know your bitch.
Right.
How did you get your bitch? If you took your bitch from a nigga by having more than what he had, never. You ain't gonna ever be able to keep this house.
If she do that to that nigga, she can do that to you. Because guess what? There's always a nigga. That's one thing I learned when I worked for the NBA is, I will never say the name of the player. Still one of my homeboys today, but you know, they used to have me go get women's numbers and set them up with women and shit, right? So he seen a woman in the crowd. He on the bench and shit. He see a woman in the stands. He like, he want her, right? Bet. At the time, I'm like 17, 18, 19. So I go up there and I approach the woman. She says that she's married, right? Now, I just told you as an NBA nigga want you. I come back to him. I'm like, yo, this is middle of the game. This nigga ain't concerned about the game. It's middle of the season. And she was pretty much like, you know, she's married. You know, that's just what it is. He told me to go back. He said, ask her if she's happily married. I came back with her number for him. Because at the end of the day, she realized, yes, I'm married, so by standard, but you asked me the second time, and this nigga can provide the stuff, the lifestyle that I want. Let's be real. Every woman who talks about independency, they do want to be taken care of. Right? Like, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to be taken care of? Shit, I would want to be taken care of. Let me find an old cougar bitch take care of me. You feel me? Like, let me... Who wouldn't want to just sit up and not have to worry about certain things in life? So with that opportunity presents itself, you're going to take it. And she took it. You feel me? But that happens all the time, even outside of professional athletes. All the time.
It was a viral video. I don't know if you remember this. Of Offset when he was with the Migos. Mm-hmm. So this was way before Cardi B. He goes to Waffle House, I guess, after a show or something. He saw a chick sitting next to her nigga. Slid the number, got the waitress to slide the number to her, and they watched from the window. She grabbed a purse, didn't even look at the number. Knew who it was from, knew where it came from, took the number. Why the nigga still sitting right there? Took the number. They met up that night. You know it,
because he only in town for a day or two. So you already know.
Yeah. So now her sister got sick, or one of the kids got to go to the doctor, or I got to make a run real quick. Work called me in. Or, you know, I could find a way to be gone. A woman can find a way to be gone for 8 hours without
right.
also without being questioned. That's the problem niggas be having. That's why I be telling niggas, you can't even be acting like you're trying to have multiple bitches, and you also don't. How the fuck you gonna disappear and you don't got shit going? What you gonna tell the bitch where you going?
That's very true. That is very true.
Nigga got one job. He worked 4 days a week, 12 hours. This motherfucker, no real friends, no real family. The only kid he got be here all day. So how he gonna get away? You don't got no side hustles. You don't got no ventures. You don't got no backup plans.
And one thing that I've definitely found interesting is, you know, and this goes into settling or quote unquote compromising. Bitch, which nigga you want? You want the nigga that got the one job that don't got nothing else going for him, but he got all the time in the world for you. But you don't want to really be with that nigga. Or do you want to be with the nigga who got everything going for him, but he ain't really got time for you?
This is what I've learned. And this is why only certain women is married happily. They want both. The best way to describe it, they want to meet the nigga who don't got shit going and all the time. Use that time to build the chemistry and hope that this nigga eventually becomes something after the chemistry.
They want to build niggas. First. They want to build their nigga.
They want to be a part of the reason he is who he is.
And women can't handle niggas that. You know, like, nobody really got everything together. Like, I don't got it all together. But for the most part, I got my shit together. But at the same time, bitch, I don't need, in a way, I don't need a woman to goddamn come in and change my life and build me up. She can add to my life, you feel me? But I don't need you to build me up. Like, I'm already me. I already got the stuff that I need. I already have the characteristics and stuff. Yes, I can always grow. That's life. Yeah. People change for the better, right? Yeah. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to build me. You're not about to start dressing me. You're not about to make me start talking a certain way, look a certain way, get a certain type of job, move a certain way, have a certain car. No, I'm not the nigga you're going to build.
Hey, this is what niggas mean when they say you're not about to Russell Wilson me. Good bitch, I won't cheat on you. I will show you off. That don't got shit to do with what the fuck we talking about. This nigga's a completely different dude because of Sierra. Don't nigga no more. That's not how men and women things work. Usually, man is himself. He meets his woman. His woman becomes his rock, and his rock forms to him. God damn it. Why the fuck this nigga changing outfits and shit, changing his hair and shit because of this? I ain't gonna call her any names.
Right. Because look at how he was with the white girl. Nigga ain't give a fuck about nothing.
White girl, dog. Nobody wants to bring up the white bitch in the child. Nobody wants to bring the white bitch out. The white bitch pissed, right? Y'all all remember the picture. That white hoe was happy as fuck when he. White bitch was ready. So we never gonna forget about that white hoe. And this kind of segues into what I was finna talk about, just kind of on some simple shit. So, my nigga, I don't watch a whole lot of battle. Most of my battle rap friends is just my partners. But, so we're gonna start with that first. You as the person, then we're gonna go to you as the battle rapper, okay? Let's start with,
who am I talking to? The person is Xavier. That's the person. That's the person. That's who I am on the daily. You feel me? Zay, I ain't going to say Zay no character. You feel me? Zay is very much a part of who I am. But I will say they're two different people. You feel me? Xavier's more chill. He's more about business. He's more this than the third. You know, he's more outgoing and fun and, you know, family-oriented. Zay, he the nigga that you see on social media. He didn't know that you see in the rap battles and things like that. And it's not really switching up who I am. They both a part of me, but, you know, you know how the game go. Like, shit, you can't be tough all the motherfucking time. You can't be this type of nigga all the time. If you a battle rap nigga and you're like that 24/7, that's an issue. That's an issue.
Banging on.
That's an issue.
Don't got no time for that. Xavier single.
I am.
Because I was about to say, if you said no, I was going to ask you, is Zay?
I am single and Zay is single. So, you know, that's no cap on that. Now, in all actuality, do I want to be in a relationship? Yes. But at the same time, the way I look at dating, I take that shit serious. You feel me? Like, that shit, you start dating somebody and, you know, you end up in a relationship. In a way, as a man, you have to picture being with this person for the rest of your life. Right? So I can't just date anybody, because you wouldn't just be with any everybody for the rest of your life. You feel me? You wouldn't just be with any bitch. So because of that, like, okay. I'm very peculiar. I'm very particular. I'm very cautious as much as I can be. Not like, oh, this bitch, goddamn, one of her eyes is lower than the other. Like, nah, not that type of shit. But you got to be able to look and be like, okay, does she got these qualities of not just a wife, a life partner? You know, somebody who can raise your children, somebody who can, you know, really be around. So, I might got 3 or 4, man.
Hey, I'm talking about this, okay? Because all is any real here, we all know. But we, how many you know?
Probably like 3 or 4. Nah, I'm bullshitting. I ain't answering that question, but you know, I take care of my responsibility. That's all that matter.
Okay, shit. Great answer. Great answer.
What'd you say? It keep cutting out. Now I can, yeah.
Oh, hold on. Can you hear me? Okay, how old is it?
29.
Oh, okay. That's
another reason when it comes to dating why I'm not, in a way, I'm not bullshitting around no more. You feel me? I'm quick to cut somebody off because I ain't trying to waste your time. And because I damn sure ain't about to waste mine. You feel me? Like, I'm not. It, motherfucker, like, it's not just because it's 30, but, you know, 30 ain't no more playing around. You look up, you 40. You don't want to be 40 alone and ain't got your shit together. So 30 is where we bring it all together. So yeah, I'll be 30 at the end of the goddamn year, man. All
right. So where you stationed out of, but for everybody else,
Charlotte,
where
you man. Located? Where you know, Charlotte, North Carolina. We disclaimer, we do not eat raccoon in Charlotte. I see all this shit going on the internet because the shit took place in Charlotte. Niggas was offended because we don't eat that shit out here.
There's probably motherfuckers in the boondocks.
Other parts of North Carolina and South Carolina, they do eat raccoon. But in Charlotte, we don't do that shit. Charlotte's the city.
A whole big, I don't understand. Y'all got a football team.
We got both.
And a basketball team. Barely. I don't understand.
They're not really good, but we got both.
I didn't even want to win. That was a bad game. I don't know how the fuck y'all.
And we was trying to lose, and y'all wasn't trying to win. That's what pissed me off.
If I talk more about the Saints, I'm going to break something. So let's keep going. Now, do you have any other ventures or occupations outside of the one where you yelling people's face for a living that you...
Yeah, I'm a very busy person. I do have a full-time job. I ain't one of these niggas that, like, you know, at the end of the day, you could live wrong, but that leads to nowhere. I done been there before. You feel me? I got a regular job, good money, take care of what I need to take care of. You know, I'll be doing the modeling shit. You know, I have a fashion show in LA in December, right before or after my birthday. I got to get the date on that. But, yeah. And it's so much different than battle rap. So much different. The aura, the way that you have to carry yourself, you know, in a way I carry myself in battle rap the same way that I do outside. Like, I ain't a shit talker, you know.
Image battle rap. Like you got one of them images where a nigga go talk about the fact that you not right. dressed like bruh, a dirty nigga.
It's when crazy. You come to all battle. I heard coming up in my career was, "Oh, something wrong with this nigga. This nigga weird. This nigga off." You know, they start saying all kinds of shit. And we're like, "Bruh, when I walk outside in Charlotte, I look like a regular nigga. But when I walk in a battle rap event, I stand out because you were dirty niggas. Of course you dirty motherfuckers is going to look at me like I'm different. Y'all niggas live in a bubble. Like, get real with your life. You feel me? Like, is it... that's real shit, bro. Niggas be like, bro. But at the same time, I also learned to embrace it even more, which now is helping me with the modeling thing because it's like, you know what? I don't give a fuck what y'all niggas talking about. I laugh when y'all niggas sit up there and be right. like, y'all motherfuckers call me a pretty boy. Y'all sit up there and say, oh, this nigga modeling ass nigga, or this nigga ain't this, this, and third. All right, cool. Because if y'all looking at it from that standpoint, then these fashion coordinators, these people in these positions are going to look at it the same way. And I don't give a fuck about
exactly.
what a battle rapper think. If a motherfucker paid me 20 bands to do a fashion show or a modeling gig, why would I give a fuck about a battle rap nigga telling me, oh, your pants are skinny. Okay, and motherfucker. Like, and you feel me? I guarantee, you know, like a gun can fit into that motherfucker. Like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. So just how I look at it is, like, I have embraced that shit, but modeling is one of the things that I do on the side as well as, like, shit around the city. Like, I really mentor youth out here because I was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't gonna lie. I got a lot of trouble. Like,
Yeah,
I've always done that even before battle rap, bro. Like, even before, you know, being in the position that I'm in, because Charlotte ain't a city where niggas make it out in the entertainment world. So the fact that I do something unique and I've gone far with it, I'm magnified even more a little bit in the city. Like, I'm a local celebrity. I can walk uptown and somebody will recognize me. And that's when you understand that, you can use that shit. Like, all right, I can go to the hood. I can go around the, you know, the real niggas around the gang members and shit and be like, light this bitch up, right? Or I can go to the young niggas and be like, you can become anything in this fucking world. Regardless, like, I used to have bad grades. It wasn't because I wasn't smart. Because I was out here doing bad shit and shit like that. I ain't really have the proper role models in place. You feel me? Like, my older brother, he's still learning how to be a man himself. It's hard to teach me to be a man if you still learning how to be one. And, you know, so now I'm in that position where I just want to help these youth, because I done seen niggas when I was 14 get killed. I done been there. I don't want them kids being that, because I know I could have been one of them. And if somebody would have told me that they cared, like, it's crazy that the people that I think about when the fact that I've reached this point of success and there's still so much for me to do, it's the people who cared about me. Those are the people who I still reach back out to. And, you know, whether it be a teacher or just somebody like from the church or somebody from the community, those are the people who, you know, always come across my mind and I keep right. in contact with. You hear a lot of people get in positions and they talk about the teacher that told them they weren't going to be shit. But what about the teacher that did? You feel me? What about the person that
right. made me feel yeah. like I was gonna be something? Me? I don't.
So I wanna let these kids know, like, look, you can be something. You ain't even gotta be no rapper. Because also the other thing that helps me, you know, really relate with these kids, when I walk in that school or I walk in, you know, the hood or wherever, I don't look like no rapper. I don't look, especially like no battle rapper. I know I don't look like no battle rapper. I don't care. Yeah, you feel me? So, but it show niggas, like, look, you could, if you even want to be a rapper, this is how you carry it. You feel me? I go out, I'm not bringing too much attention to myself. You feel me? If a motherfucker recognizing me, that's because he recognized me. That's not because he recognized me because of a car. He recognized me because of some jewelry. He recognized me because of some designer clothing. He recognized me because he literally recognized me. You carry yourself a certain way, you know, at the end of the day, talk about rappers and this, that, and the third. Look at all the rappers who make business moves. Look how they dress. Look how they carry themselves. They're still rappers, right? Look at Jay-Z. That's the we always go to that one, right? That's the nigga who done been out of the streets, sold drugs, did all this shit that these niggas talk about. Look how he carries himself. Look at Kendrick, right? Look at Cole. These niggas don't be. And so it's one of those things you can teach a kid. Look, if music is your passion, if rapping is your passion, if sports is your passion, you can still do that, be successful, but you can still carry yourself another way. You don't got to carry yourself as a stereotype. So I'd be out here really mentoring and just making sure that, you know, any kid, even if it's just one kid, helping one kid is enough. You feel me?
Yeah, that shit fucking powerful. I guess it was. I was gonna say we gonna get to the interesting part, but get to the boring part. I guess most of the people that's gonna end up watching on Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, YouTube, CastTube. If you want to look at Pimp Talk the podcast, please go subscribe to Pimp Talk the podcast on all streams.
Do that.
Now, we are looking at one of the new
faces
of E.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Am I allowed to say that? You battled
right.
Show Off, right? And went crazy. Got ridiculous reaction and had one of the bars of the month from that battle. So it's safe to say we are looking at one of the newer faces of RBE. So first question and the most important question is, when is my first battle on RBE? And
yeah, you gotta get that 1SK, man. That's get that 1SK. You've been in that brick by brick process, man. It's a great process. It really, really helps develop the battle rapper, not just a battle rapper. It the whole artistry of it, from marketing to your promotion, everything goes into play. It ain't just, you know, about how well you can rap. Because we get to this point, technically everybody can rap, some better than others. But what separates you? Is it just your rapping? Or do you bring other things to the table? So, but you know, we'll work on it. You know what I'm saying? I would love to see you on RBE. You know,
this ain't y'all gonna eventually see me on that RBE stage, but this ain't about me. You see what I'm saying? I did want to talk about that process and RBE in itself, because I wasn't a big battle rap fan when I came into the battle rap culture. All I knew about was Grind Time, King of the Dot, and a very vague knowledge of URL. RBE, to say it's such a big platform, probably besides maybe King of the Dot, right, the second biggest platform. Do y'all like King of the Dot? You see what I'm saying? To say second biggest platform in battle rap. What kind of separates you guys from the King of the Dots, the URLs, the Grind Times, and some of the other leagues, and what made y'all such a big platform in the way that it is now?
Well, number one, I like to shoot down some of the myths that's out there, some of the, you know, misconceptions that RBE can't develop talent. Now they finally do have an actual system in place, but there's a lot of battle rappers who ended up on URL that started on RBE, that had 1SKs, that had things of that nature. It was just that RBE at the time, you know, to be real, RBE, if you ask ARP, look at his prior blogs, they always called themselves a platform. They didn't do contracts. They let you battle wherever. Things have changed now. And so now you're getting more of a league, RBE, the league now. You know, you're signing people and things of that nature, but you know, a lot of these guys that end up on URL started on RBE. And you have to be able to look at that and say, well, they know how to at least pick talent. If they don't know how to develop them, they know how to pick them. They're good scouts. Hey, so that's scouts, ARP has a great eye for talent. Lawrence, Wing, shout out to them. They have a great eye for talent. So it's one of those things that if I can identify a star Now, if I put a system in place to develop them, watch how things go. It might take 3 or 4 years, but that's okay. Nobody's going to just, because you want longevity, right? It's just like the music industry. You don't want 15 battle rappers who are one-hit wonders for a car. You want the battle rapper who is going to be on cars 10 years from now.
To watch people's growth. Like, when I met you, like, for real, I think it was, what was it? Was it around the Unity for me? It was, yeah. I think one of your people was battling on Unity. You didn't even, you damn sure weren't battling on the fucking Unity. But it was one of your people that battled on Unity, and you, on like a personal level, my first time seeing you put in crazy work was when you posted a clip from when you went out of this country and battled. London. Was it in London? So how is it battling across the pond? And did you get paid to go to London rap?
I've done 3 international battles. One in Toronto, really? Which was King of the Dot. I did a GZ. That was my first major league platform that I touched. And then I went to London twice. I went in November, and I just went in July. They do take care of you, though. They do take care of you. The money is different because everything's more expensive over there. So, you know, the pay, if I say I got paid a BAM U.S. money, that might not be shit over there. You feel me?
So, okay, that makes sense.
But it is very different. But it has built me to be, I feel like I can go anywhere and battle anybody, right? Because that was the first time I went over there was like a reality, you know, cultural shock, right? Because we know how things are, especially being from the South, being in Southern America. We as Black people, we looked at a certain way. Going over there was the first time that I heard that, like, anybody ever called me American.
So it wasn't even necessarily like,
so how they looking at you, how they perceive you, the way that you talk to them. I have an extremely thick accent. I'm Southern. Like, they can understand people from New York. They can understand people from L.A. A nigga from the South with an accent, they can't really understand half the shit. Then you have to understand the difference of, it's already, I already know if I go battle in New York, I have to adapt to certain things, right? Because how New York niggas live, their life is a little different than the South. The way these niggas live their life over there, you have to, in a way, research. That's number one. Research is very, very key. But
you can't talk about you. One thing is, it's just for me knowing UK and being in the military, I didn't have to be over there. You can't really talk about shooting as much. Ain't as much shooting going on.
You just open up talking about shooting niggas. That shit doesn't necessarily fly. Because they don't do that. They stab niggas. Let's just keep it real. They stab people over there. That's what it is, right? So even down to that, most niggas over here use so many gun bars. You go over there, now you have a knife bar every 2 lines. Now you're oversaturating yourself. You have to find a common ground to, you know, like, I had to, I'm not a big anime or big on that type of shit, but that's big over there to them, right? So, yeah, it's big. So you have to adapt and you have to study. So now I got to watch anime. Right. Now I got to study. Now I have to understand what's going on while still being creative. Because if I'm watching something, you know, some type of anime show for the first time and I think something fire caught my attention and I go say it, but that bar been said 35 times, I look like I stole the bar. So it's so much that goes into it. But it makes you so much more versatile. It makes you adapt. And so now I just feel like
Right.
Shit, I'm gonna battle motherfuckers at their home in their country. Me battling a motherfucker here anywhere, it is what it is. I don't care who they is because I've been in these situations. These motherfuckers, one motherfucker came up to me and said, I want you to kick his ass, but to be honest, we don't want to see no American come over here and win. When a motherfucker say that to you, you already low-key down in the room. You got to go crazy. So when you start getting a reaction, also understanding that these people don't live like you, that just boosts you. That boosts your confidence because it's like, shit, I'll just shake a room in front of motherfuckers who don't know me or know how we live over here. I do that shit over here. This shit ain't nothing now.
All right, so that's a good segue to some of my rapid-fire questions that I got. You really an anime cartoon nigga. What would you say your style is in battle rap?
Versatile. I think for me, there's not one particular... Like, people talk about my aura a lot, right? They talk about my aura. Yeah. They talk about my presence. That's something that I've always heard. But, you know, I don't feel like I have one attribute that stands out more than the other. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still developing. I was never a puncher. But now I'm starting to get down to concepts and, you know, the patterns and the things like that when it comes to punching. So now I'm elevating. You know, I can definitely storytell. I'll take it back. If I did have one attribute, it would be the storytelling aspect. To be able to tell a story, because ain't nobody really made it from Charlotte. So I'm having to give people what Charlotte is like, what life is like in Charlotte, the things that I've seen, the things that I grew up around, that I've encountered, have been through, or my people have been through, being able to tell that story. But my style is versatile. I do a little bit of anything.
Okay. I fuck with that. All right. So I have two bars that I remember distinctly from battles, from fucking with you. You see? So the, if you shoot a nigga, he don't die, his bullets pussy. That's some of the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard in my life. That shit was crazy. And it was a story you told. About a chick you was fucking with, but it didn't really fuck with her, but I guess
WNBA bar.
What was that?
It ended it. I said it was always fuck the WNBA until I needed a bitch to take a charge. And
that was
one of my favorite bars. Really, I ain't gonna lie.
I gave you my two. What is you would say like your favorite bar, or if you gotta give me like two, or give me a
man, you wouldn't have to do that. That is difficult. Definitely versus Black Rolak. My second round, I talked about this lady that I work with. Her son got killed. And, you know, that pretty much. She couldn't call out her son got killed and she couldn't call out of work because that wasn't a good enough excuse. I said that versus Black Rolak. That was some real ass shit. That was some real ass shit. And as far as another bar,
that's why that storytelling shit crazy. Yeah, you gotta think of the moments that just impact.
And I keep along. It was actually my first battle. Shout out to my nigga Bose. I battled Bose in my first battle. I had two battles prior that never dropped. So that was my first battle. And I talked about one of my homeboys who actually it was sometime last week. It was about, it's been 10 years since he got killed. And, he actually got killed and got his funeral was on the same day that his mother was supposed to get married. He actually, and the setup really was like, and it also talks about, you know, we talk about relationships and things like that. It's why, you know, you can't have trust issues. He got set up by his girlfriend. he got killed by five niggas.
Damn.
Young nigga. Young nigga.
That's wild.
And so I said that in the bar, and people just fucking, they went crazy. It's for me, real life bars just hit different because they real. You feel me? It's not made up. It's shit that I've been through. Like, when I write them, I get chills. When I recite them, I get chills. Because it's like, in a way, consciously, you're reliving it. You're thinking about it again. It's like, damn, I don't really been through some shit. I don't really seen some shit. I don't really, life has been real. And also, you never realize the amount of people that have been through that same situation or similar. And they fuck with it because it relates to, anybody can say a punchline, but the in order to, in a way, you're putting your personal business and your life on a pedestal.
That's why a lot of these niggas never really make it to some of the places that they want to be, because they never want to put too much of their life in it, because there's not too much to their life to put in it. So the more personal you can make this shit, the more people can feel like this is really you, it's gonna always hit harder. All right, so I need your favorite battle and your least favorite battle.
Least favorite, I got a lot of those.
The battle that stands out that pisses you off, either you lost or it was just bad business, or the body, but it wasn't fun. Just
I probably have to go to my early days of my career. Probably, I battled a nigga. I ain't gonna say his name, but I battled. It was my second battle. It was my battle after Bose. It was on this league out here in Charlotte called CPBL, Carolina Premier Battle League. And even though that battle was like almost at 2,000 views after all this time, I just ain't fuck with the battle. But my favorite battle, it's between Black Rolak and that URL, even though I didn't feel like I gave a good performance. I feel like I could have did way better. The back and forth that it presented, to have a nigga, you pretty much at his home and he's shaking the room on you, and you got to respond, and you're responding perfectly. I fuck with that. And then, of course, the show off battle. Yeah. You know, the RBE shit, it was Black Rolak was actually a URL PG. A month before I did my 1SK on RBE versus Pain, ironically. And then after that, the next day, that's when the world shut down for COVID.
You battled the day before the world shut down.
It was beginning of March.
Wow.
That the world shut down, 2020, and Pain battle on the leap day, February 29th of 2020 on RBE. So, but my show off battle, that was like the battle that kind of introduced, it's my highest view, but it introduced everybody to one, the best version of Zay that they've seen. But like, you know, who is this nigga? Like, this nigga might be, you know, he might be that nigga. You might be doing something, goddamn.
Yo, watching, I don't watch battles. I watch that whole fucking battle because I'm like, my nigga is up here with one of the RBE OGs. And he was just as excited for this battle as you was. He was fire. He came with his shit. It was epic. It was just epic. How many that battle at right now?
So yeah. Everybody, it just hit 40,000 like the other day. 40,000. So that's my highest view battle. But everybody, I will say, I hope that's only momentarily. You know, I am a firm believer of, you know, trajectory, and I don't want that to, at the end of the day, that was my introduction to everybody. I don't want that to be my lasting impression. I don't want that to be the best battle of my career, the highest view battle of my career. I want to look back a year from now and be like, that battle is, it's just the start of the run. And you know, that's all I'll say about that. But that's definitely my favorite battle.
Is there anything that you can talk about in the works in a sense of battles?
I can't say opponent, but RBE is bringing back Blood, Sweat, and Tears 7, October 29th in Atlanta. We started posting, you know, the Blood, Sweat, and Tears flyer, things like that. So I definitely will be battling in Atlanta. Also, I will be ironically battling the next day, October 30th in Charlotte. I haven't battled in Charlotte in 3 years. So really, since like I began my run and I did like King of the Dot and things like that, I ain't even battled in Charlotte, and this is home. So the last time everybody saw me was before I blew up. Well, now this is me coming back, and I done blown up a little bit. But Blood, Sweat, and Tears 7, RBE, get your tickets ASAP.
Okay. Pre-order. Plus 1-7, RBE,
Zay versus. I will say this about my opponent. I can't say their name, but I will say this. In order for me to get to where I'm going, I need to battle somebody like this. And if I can show that I belong, the respect level for me goes up times 20 within the co- So. Okay. That's all I can say.
Okay. That, hey, you are one of my few true, I met you through battle rap, but you one of my partners. You see what I'm saying? The moment that this fucking interview drops, you finna get all of this information, bro, because you deserve as much buzz as possible. People need to know. They need to know who you are before the millions of motherfucking views and instead of show off and giving you shots, you and, give another motherfucker.
And it's crazy you say that, because that's one reason why I'm returning to Charlotte. I don't want to look back on, quote unquote, you know, looking in the future, and we talk about legacy. I'm the pioneer. Like, I got honored at the Charlotte Hip Hop Awards for my career in battle rap. Niggas don't understand how big that shit. Dead ass. So I don't want to look back on my legacy and said I did all this except give back. Because I give back so much of myself to the community in general, you know, mentoring kids and just taking battle rappers in the area under my wing and just trying to help them fly and get places too. You know, every door that I open ain't for me. I've learned that a long time ago. Thanks. Every door ain't, it's not always about me. What's for me is for me. What's not is not. I don't trip over what's for me and what's not for me. So it's easy for me to help and support niggas, but sometimes the biggest way to help a nigga is by putting them in position. And if I can, you know, be the quote unquote name and the face that's given the shot to help propel somebody that's coming up in the game, then why not? So that's one reason why, you know, I'm battling in Charlotte, you know, the next day after RBE.
All right. 60 seconds. You see what I'm saying? Plug everything. Let everybody know where to find you on social medias, anything you got coming up.
You already know what it is, man. It's Zay, straight out of Charlotte. Catch me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Zaytoven15, Zaytoven15. Not Zaytoven like the goddamn producer. Shout out to him, though. October 29th, RBE, Blood, Sweat, and Tears 7, Atlanta, Georgia. Get your tickets. October 30th, Charlotte, North Carolina, I will be battling a young kid by the name of Ghouli. He's out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Y'all be on the lookout. Tickets going on sale. That will be on Art of War. They're doing a card in Charlotte now instead of Miami. So, you know.
Okay.
That's what it is.
It's lit, man. I got my nigga Zay in the building. Y'all already know who I am. It is Young God the Pimp. I do not put no holes on the strip. Use a smooth talk or that I get energy. Effort is the time that is spent. My time is money, so they're going to reimburse every cent. And if that don't make sense, I got one of the best battlers in the world, one of the coolest world. Y'all subscribe to Pimp Talk. I'm going to be seeing y'all soon. I love you guys.
Appreciate you, my nigga.
Anytime, man. You the GOAT, bro.